الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباد الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أتل ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة عماد الدين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders and brothers, we had been discussing importance of salat, different dimensions of salat, the uniqueness of namaz, ibadat of Allah. Similarly, how comprehensive this ibadat is, how easy it is, how significant and important it is. And we are busy mentioning the virtues, the great virtues that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned about salat. One hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that salatu imaduddin, that namaz is the pillar of deen. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions 10 virtues for this namaz. First one, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that namaz is the charm of the face. There is a different illumination and a light on the face of the person that reads namaz. It is the charm and beauty of that person that reads namaz. We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him a different radiance and a different charm on his face. Secondly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says it is the light of the heart. It is the noor of the heart. And when there is noor in the heart, a person can discern between good and bad, between vice and virtue, between sin, between the obedience and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Barakat of namaz is such that it creates this noor and this light in the heart. Thirdly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says it is a refreshment and a health for the physical body. Even the entire body becomes the means of its good health, and between establishing the health of the body also, person who carries out his salat regularly, this also is achieved and obtained by him. These are things that pertain to the condition of this world. And hereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says it is a companion in the grave. Imagine when everything is cut off from us, our families, our acquaintances, our friends, our wife and children, etc. At that time, the salat becomes a companion for the person in the grave. And there are other ahadiths also that mention this, how salat comes and protects the person in the grave from all sides. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, fifthly, it becomes the means of the ascension of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person that is punctured upon his salat, then the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directed towards that person. Sixthly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us it is a key to paradise. All know a person who has a key to any place, very easy for him to enter, put in the key and open the lock, and there you are inside. So salat is a key to paradise, key to Jannah, place of bliss and enjoyment and the pleasures of Jannah. You can read the Quran, different ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Want to obtain the key, become regular in your salat. Further, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that it is a means of the weight on the scales of the day of judgment. We know on the day of judgment, Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us all, our deeds will be placed on the scale. And those persons whose scale will be heavy, that person will be successful. فَمَنْ سَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةِ الرَّاضِيَةِ. He will be in a very pleasant life, enjoyable life in the hereafter. So this will become a means of the weight on the scale in the day of judgment. Similarly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says it will become a means of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person that is punctual in his salat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with that person. Also, it is the price of paradise, and it is the protection from the fire of Jahannam. So these are the virtues that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions about salat, 10 virtues. And the end of this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man aqamaha faqad aqama ad-deen. Person that establishes just this pillar of salat, he has established the entire deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, this will become a means of him establishing the entire deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ هَدَمَا فَقَدْ هَدَمَ الدِّينَ. And the person that abolishes this, destroys this pillar of deen, then he's as if destroyed the entire deen. You can imagine from this hadith how important salat is in the life of all of us. Our lives, the wives of our children, our parents, our wives, the families and people around us. We should try and establish this pillar of salat in our lives and make an endeavor not only in our lives, but the people around us as well. And there are so many virtues that are mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding salat. Then another aspect of salat, when we look in the Quran and Hadith, we find is aqimus salat, establish salat, not just to read salat. We have to establish salat. The ulama kiram mentioned here what is meant here with all these prerequisites, all the faraiz of salat, all the wajibat of salat, the sunan of salat, the mustahabbat of salat, all that must be found in our namaz. And we must try and read a perfect namaz. We should develop this namaz. One is just to perform the namaz, and one is to establish the namaz with all its prerequisites. And this is what is required by the Sharia. In other words, these virtues are for that namaz that is a perfect namaz, that is established, that is developed by a person properly, and he works and makes effort on his salat. Once a person came to the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he read his salat. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, irji fa salli, he made salam, read his salat, and he made salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied and told him, go back, irji fa salli, fa innaka lam tusalli. Go back and repeat your namaz, because you have not read namaz. Now outwardly he had read namaz, everybody had witnessed that. He goes back and he repeats that namaz. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he comes back for the second time, tells him the same thing. Then he goes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him to repeat the salat. He reads the namaz for the third time and comes back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him for the third time, go back and repeat your salat. You have not read salat. فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُسَلِّي. Now here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is negating the salat, whereas this person has read his salat, sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter he says, O Allah, he takes an oath and say, by him who has sent you with the truth, لَا أَحْسَنُ غَيْرَ هَذَا. I do not know how to read a better salat. This is the only salat that I know. Then, and teach me, O Prophet of Allah, the salat. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions details to him that when you stand up and say the takbir and recite what is easy for you to recite, thereafter when you're going to sajda, when you're going to ruku, then farqa hatta tatma'inna raki'an. Going to ruku with ease, going to ruku calmly till you are completely at ease in ruku. And when you stand up, then thumma rfa hatta ta'tadila qa'iman, stand up till you are absolutely straight. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, going to sajda, ثُمَّسْجُدْ حَتَّى تَتْمَعِنَّ سَاجِدًا. Go down calmly into sijda till you are completely at ease when you are in sijda. Then sit up straight till you are completely at ease when you are sitting. Otherwise, apparently it seemed that he was not performing his ruku and sijda in a proper manner. And this happens when a person comes, he's reading namaz quickly, he stands up in ruku, he hardly goes in properly and he's up again. Hardly stands up properly between ruku and sijda, and then he goes into sijda. Hardly makes the proper sijda, and he comes back and doesn't sit properly between the two postures. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches him here the salat and negates the salat when he does not read it properly. Some riwayats we understand that when a person reads his namaz, then in fact Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the worst thief is the person that reads his namaz. Aswa'un nasi sarakatan alladhi yasruku salatahu. The worst thief is that person that steals in his namaz. Now stealing in namaz is a concept we don't understand. Companions also asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is stealing in namaz? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَا يُتِمُّ رُكُوَهَا وَلَا سُجُودَهَا. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that person that does not complete and make the ruku perfectly and properly, and the sijda also does not make it perfectly and properly. Imagine here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is attributing that person to be a thief, and then the worst of thieves, the one that steals in salat. In other words, he comes, he reads his salat, but the ruku is not properly done, the sijda is not properly done in salat. With little do we realize the importance of these aspects, but here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to highlight the gravity and the seriousness of this action, mentions to us this is like stealing in salat. In some riwayats is mentioned that a person reads namaz for 60 years, but not a single salat of his is accepted. Why? Because in some salats he is defaulting as far as his ruku is concerned, in some salats he is defaulting as far as sijda is concerned, so not a single salat is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of that person. Imagine so much effort, but because it is not done properly and appropriately, and the manner which it conforms to the Sharia, the manner which it conforms to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite making the effort, we find what happens, his namaz is deficient and his namaz is not accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is absolutely essential for us, for those that read our salat regularly, to ensure that our salat goes from one level to another level every day. Our salat today must be better than the salat yesterday. Similarly, we find that these are outer aspects of salat, as far as the ruku and sujood are concerned. Then we find the inner aspects of salat, where there must be concentration, sincerity, devotion, etc. in salat. Person says, Allahu Akbar, then comes in the hadith, worship Allah as if you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As if you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is how you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all the stray thoughts, except now, must not be coming to a person when he's reading salat. He must make full endeavor and see that he comes in the state, he comes early for salat, he performs his wuzu in a proper manner, he comes and makes the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he cuts himself off from the world that he's coming from, sits here and orientate his mind and himself to come into salat. Thereafter, enter into salat, inshallah, we will find that the stray thoughts will be going away. And thereafter also, if any stray thoughts come into his mind, then that is beyond his control. He must not follow up his stray thoughts. He must not bring bad thoughts or waswasa. But those that come into him involuntarily, this is excused in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some riwayats is mentioned, a person reads salat, and after his salat, he only gets 1/10 of the reward. Some riwayats, 1/9, or 1/8, or 1/7, or 1/6, or 1/5, 1/4, or 1/4, 1/3, or 1/4. Or half of the salat, he only gets this, the reward. In other words, he does not have that amount of concentration that he ought to have in his salat. And with the result, the sawab is lost. The reward is lost. He comes here, he reads the salat, but despite reading the salat, we find that reward that he ought to get for reading salat is lost. So salat is something that we should develop. Salat is something that we should learn. Salat is something that we should refresh ourselves with. Go to the ulama kiram and learn from them the postures of salat, the sunan of salat, the wajibat of salat, the farais of salat. When it is such an important ibadat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the person, enters him into paradise. Such an important ibadat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees him entry into paradise. And it is the pillar of deen. Then how much must this be established in salat? How much this ibadat must be established? Then we find the verse that I've recited, Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. The effect of salat is this, that it stops the person from evil actions, from shameful actions, and from unjust and evil actions. One person came to Rasulullah ﷺ and he discussed this ayat. Rasulullah ﷺ told him, that person who salat does not stop from shameful actions and from evil actions, fala salat alahu, then there's no salat for him. Other words, in reality, the effect of salat is not enjoyed by that person because he does not stop from shameful actions. He does not stop from sinning and be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The light of this one sahabi mentions that there are three special ingredients of salat. One is sincerity, to be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second one is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person stands in the court of Allah, he should be absolutely fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third one is remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should forget everything else and remember only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mufti Zainul Abidin rahmatullahi alayhi, to say it very beautifully, he should say, sab cheez ko choro aur sab cheezon ka khayal bhi choro. Har cheez ko chhor do. Biwi ko bhi chhor diya, kaam ko bhi chhor diya. You left everything. Aur har cheez ka khayal bhi chhor lo. Leave out everything and leave out the thought and involvement of everyone else. Do not be thinking and pondering and reflecting upon your business and wife and children while you're in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, when a person is deeply engrossed in salat and carries the salat in a proper manner, when he's sincere in his salat, the sincerity will herald good deeds. He will carry out good deeds because he's sincere. And when he has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will stay away from sins when he stands up before salat. And together with that, when he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also by reciting the Holy Quran. And the Quran is a guidance for him towards good deeds, and Quran will encourage him to stay away from evil deeds. And one person, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tells him that إِذَا قُمْتَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ فَصَلِّ صَلَاتَ مُمَدِّعِينَ. When you stand up for salat, he had gone to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a very lengthy hadith. In fact, there are three parts of this hadith. I'll just quote the first part. He had gone to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked Rasulullah, O Prophet of Allah, give me some advice. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, إِذَا قُمْتَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ فَصَلِّ صَلَاتَ مُمَدِّعِينَ. When you stand up in your namaz, then read the namaz of that person that is leaving this dunya. Leave the namaz of that person that is leaving this dunya. Now imagine if you are told here, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us in some way that all of you that are here, Malikul Maut is waiting for you, and this is your last salat. What will be the level of our concentration, our humility, our sincerity in this salat? Because it's going to be our last salat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whenever you stand for salat, إِذَا قُمْتَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ فَصَلِّ صَلَاتَ مُوَدِّعِينَ. Read the namaz as if it is your last namaz. Otherwise, try and make it a perfect namaz that you are reading before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was one person like that in history. He mentioned to his disciple, says, when I go and I hear the azan, I make preparations long before the azan. Thereafter, I go to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with humility I walk and come into the house of Allah. And when I say Allahu Akbar for reading that salat, then I visualize that I visualize that the Malikul Maut is on top of my head. Jannat is on my right hand side. Jahannam is on my left hand side. And my feet are on the pul sirat. And this is my last namaz. I visualize and I imagine and reflect that this is the last namaz I am reciting. And I am facing the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then I say Allahu Akbar, having the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my heart. Thereafter he says, I prostrate before Allah and I make sajda before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with great humility and knowing my weakness. And thereafter I make salam with the fear that maybe my namaz is not accepted because of my weakness, and with the hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of his mercy will accept my salat. The disciple asked him, how often are you reading this salat, or how long are you reading such a salat? Say, for the last 30 years I am reading this salat. In other words, his salat is like the last salat, and it's the perfect salat that he is reading. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to carry out the salat in that manner and to be concerned about the development of my salat so it's accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned when salat is accepted, it makes dua for the person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look after you, safeguard you, like how you have looked after me and like you have safeguarded me. So salat is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these virtues that we mentioned are for a perfect salat. So we should be endeavoring all the time to make our perfect our salat, to make it proper and better day by day. Not that our mind is busy in salat, we are bodily in namaz, but as physically we are in namaz outwardly, but as far as our mind and soul is concerned, we are somewhere else. No. Perfect salat demands that outwardly also we conform to the sharia, the salat, the outward forms of salat, and similarly inwardly also and externally, internally as well, our mind should be focused. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing us, so that we get the maximum reward of salat. Similarly, we should endeavor always to read our salat with jamaat in the masjid. Here the namaz is increased 25 times, in some riwayat 27 times it is increased. Apart from all the other favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, person comes here, there's love just engendered between the Muslim brothers of different colors, different languages, different backgrounds. Why? Because you're standing shoulder to shoulder here in an ibadat. In ibadat is the worship of Allah. There's so much barakat in any ibadat. A person that carries out jointly, there's muhabbat that is established between those people that carry it out, especially salat. That's why we are told to straighten ourselves. We should see that ourselves are straight, lest Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create differences in our hearts if our lines are not straight. So standing here, engenders love and feeling towards our Muslim brothers. We come to know of their condition, we greet them, etc. Muslim brotherhood also is exposed here 5 times a day when the Muslims assemble in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith expressed the desire to burn the homes of those people. Not that do not read namaz, that read namaz in the home and do not come and read namaz in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So great amount of reward here to read namaz in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Together with that, after we read salat, in some verses of the Quran we understand وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَسَبِّحُوا أَدْبَارَ السُّجُودِ, that we should read tasbih, glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the namaz. After the first namaz, we should read the tasbih, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar 33 times. This seems a very small and simple action, but it has great amount of reward. We find the word tasbih is mentioned many places in the Quran. قَبْلَ تُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا, before the sun rises, that means after the Fajr Salat, and وَقَبْلَ الْغُرُوبِ, after the Asr Salat. That is why, specifically because there's no sunan, we sit down after the Fajr Salat, after the Asr Salat, and we read this 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, and 34 times Allahu Akbar, or 33 times Allahu Akbar, and lastly we read La ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadeer. One riwayat is mentioned, the person that reads after every Salat 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 33 times Allahu Akbar, and lastly La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadeer. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all his sins, even though they are equal to the foams of the sea. One occasion is mentioned that the rich people and poor people, we know the tussle between the rich and the poor carries on. The time of Sahaba, they had come. The poor people had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him, O Prophet of Allah, we have a complaint here, a grievance against the rich people. Wasn't the grievance of the current day grievances that they are living in luxury? No, they used to vie for good actions. Said, O Prophet of Allah, these people are surpassing us. We read Salat, they read Salat. We keep roza, they keep roza. But they do actions like giving sadaqah and freeing slaves, etc., that we cannot do because we do not have that money and finance and provisions for caring, vying with them as far as that action is concerned. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, should I not show you such an action? تُدْرِكُونَ بِهِ مَنْ سَبَقَكُمْ وَتَسْبِقُونَ بِهِ مَنْ بَعْدَكُمْ. that you will catch up with those people that have beat you and surpassed you. And وَتَسْبِكُونَ بِهِمْ بَعْدَكُمْ, and you will beat the people after you. Those people that surpass you, the rich people, you will catch up with them. Such an action I will show you. And I will show you such an action that you تَسْبِكُونَ بِهِمْ بَعْدَكُمْ, you will beat the people after you. You will surpass, begin to surpass the people. And وَلَا يَكُونُ أَحَدًا أَفْزَلْ, there will be nobody better than you people. Now imagine, here to catch up with the good actions of the rich people, what did Rasulullah ﷺ tell them? That after every salat, read Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 33 times. Such a simple action, but look at the profound effect of this action, that they will reach up to those sawab and reward of those people that surpass them as far as good deeds are concerned. So a very, very simple action to carry out. One, some riwayats mentioned that there are some actions that are carried out after salat, la yakhibu qailuhunna. The people that say it, they will never be disappointed. Then the Sahabi says, Rasulullah ﷺ taught us 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, and 34 times Allahu Akbar. Some riwayats is mentioned, Rasulullah ﷺ says, who is there that can make amal equal to Mount Uhud? Said, O Prophet of Allah, who is there? Those that went to Madinah al-Munawwara know how big that mountain is. Some say it is 11 kilometers, some say it is 13 kilometers. Rasulullah ﷺ informed them that Subhanallah is more reward than equal to Mount Uhud. Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. There's more reward for each one of this, more reward than Mount Uhud. And some riwayats we understand, when a person says Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, then for him there's a tree that is planted in paradise. And in paradise, the trees is mentioned, will be so huge that horses, fast, swift horses, will have to take 80 years or 100 years till they come to the end of the shadow of that tree. Now imagine if a person says three times Subhanallah, then will be three trees for him in Jannat. And so big these trees will be that it takes 100 years or 80 years for one horse to go from one side or the other side of that tree. So one alim put it so beautifully, says if you want to extend your plot in paradise, very simple, just read Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, especially after each salat. If you read it 33 times, then 33 trees are planted for you, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, another 33 times. In this manner, your plot in paradise will be widened and will be made bigger and bigger by just reading Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. In some hadiths, we understand, Rasulullah ﷺ has informed us that there will be very few people that do this. Some riwayats has mentioned that you must read it 10 times, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Then Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned that there will be very few people that will carry this out. Companions became surprised, how will that be? It's mentioned that shaitan will involve you in other activities. A person won't be able to even sit there 2 minutes or 3 minutes and read the Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, after the Fajr Salat, after the Zuhr Salat, after the Asr Salat. You stand up and go away thinking that I have to do such and such work, such and such work. Whereas that work can be accomplished even after 2 minutes. One Shaykh al-Hadith is mentioned so beautifully that a person should assess whether I have a valid reason for standing up and going away and not making the zikr. Thereafter, salat is made, dua is made after the Fajr Salat, after the Asr Salat, dua is made, communal dua, joint dua is made. When you just have one person there, it's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his duas are accepted. With the barakat of his dua, our duas are accepted as well. Many occasions you find a man stands up, he's standing outside and looking at the board, sitting and standing and talking to his friends. Yes, there may be sometimes a genuine need. Person has a genuine need maybe to go to the toilet, to rush somewhere, or there's an emergency. After the Fajr Salat, he stood up and goes away. But sometimes you find a person, for petty reasons, stands up and leaves his great zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes he doesn't involve himself in any other zikr. And yet the simple zikr of Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, all his sins are forgiven. He will reach up the actions of those rich people and he will never be disappointed. So we should endeavor to carry out the salat, and when we come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get the maximum amount of reward. Maximum amount of reward is to indulge in those actions that will bring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to abstain from those actions that will bring the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it means hurting the feelings of our fellow musalli. We should be very, very mindful of this as well. Sometimes we sit here, we are sitting at the back and we are talking. Quran tafsir is taking place here. Person is standing right here and talking. Standing right at the entrance and talking. Sometime a bayan is taking place, the kitab is being read, standing right there and talking. It's not compulsory for you to sit there. You may have a valid reason, but go away from the masjid area. Do not disturb the musallis that are standing there. Sometime you are standing at the entrance and you're disturbing the people there. They cannot go freely out, freely inside the masjid, nor can they go out of the masjid. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to value this great ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us and to carry it out in the proper manner, where day by day we are gaining proximity and closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we become deserving of His mercy and of His grace in this world and the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.